This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Kia ora and welcome everyone to Neat Footy, the number one podcast for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinero Arona, and with my co-host Sammy Wykes in Japan for a few days, we've got one of Tonga's best ever, Will Hopoate. Welcome to Neat Footy, brother, and welcome back.
Thank you. Malolo Leite, thanks for having me on. Nah, Sammy, you go to Japan. NRL prelims this weekend. We've got the NRLW semi-finals. Sala Togatuki joins us today as well. The Pacific Nations Cup is all done, and we got the legendary Tautai Kefu, who will join us for the final time in 2024.
Yes, we've got plenty and plenty of footy news to preview and to catch up on. So, you know, sit tight and enjoy the ride.
My name is Eli Kator, and I'm listening to Nissan Footy.
Mate, we've got two huge games coming up this weekend in the preliminary finals in the NRL. But I want to touch on first, how many prelims have you played? I feel like you've played a fair few, and, and which one of them might stand out?
I actually haven't played many. I've only played one, really. The year that I won, I was lucky enough to play at Manly.
Yep.
Where we won. We played the Brisbane Broncos in a prelim to get into that with the likes of Thaire Hodges, Lockyer. They were a stacked team.
What year was that?
2011.
2011, yeah. And who was that when Steve Maddow was your centre?
Yep. The centres were Steve Maddow and Jamie Lyon. I was outside Jamie Lyon.
Oh, playing on the wing?
Yeah, on the wing. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
You went on, so you beat Brisbane, then
went to the GF and beat the Warriors.
Oh, that's the year the Warriors, they had all the NRL team, New South Wales Cup team, and the 20s team all playing in the finals that year, and you spoiled the party. Where was that game played in Brisbane?
That was at the old SFS.
Oh, yeah, the Australia Stadium, Sydney Roosters home ground.
Allianz, yeah.
What's the, was there anything that stood out for you in that game, or was it an easy game for you fellas?
No, well, it definitely wasn't easy. I think, a little while ago now, but from memory, I think it's easy for teams to probably get caught up in the hype and the pressure of finals footy. But we just played to our systems, really. We didn't do anything different, you know, than we did in the regular season. Our structures and systems were all the same. It was just a matter of executing on the day. And I think, when teams get caught up in, you know, the pressure of finals and do or die, then they might do things that they wouldn't normally do. And that's where things get messed up.
Well, we'll touch on next week, actually, on Monday, because you'll still be here in Japan. And Sammy will be in Japan enjoying some sushi and all the nice food that Japan gives over there. So we'll touch on the grand final week and what that experience was like for yourself next Monday. I'm sure that our listeners would appreciate and enjoy that knowledge. But let's rip into these two games. So first one is tonight. We have Melbourne Storm taking on the Sydney Roosters, 7:50 in Melbourne. Now, geez, this one's probably my most favourite out of the two, because I think, you know, there could be an upset. Obviously, the Storm being the favourite, but I think the Roosters have some strengths there that may be able to cause that upset. But I'll start with Melbourne. I think when you look at Melbourne, you've got to recognize their spine and the game management. You know, Jerome Hughes, he's been one of, if not the best player this year in the NRL, and also Cameron Munster, Harry Grant, them two Queensland, Australia players as well. The way that they, control the game, but then knowing how to transfer momentum into points. I think that them three alone are a huge threat.
Yeah, well, I think you look at the spine and they're pretty similar. Like, you know, Papenhuyzen and Tedesco, both X factors, game breakers. Munster and Keary, a lot of experience and strike. I think the difference is in the halfbacks and the hookers. Obviously, you got Connor Watson there, who's not, you know, your traditional hooker. He's a bit of a utility, can play anywhere. And you got Harry Grant, you know, Queensland origin star who knows how to dictate and control the speed of a game. And then obviously Jerome Hughes, as you mentioned, big time player, big experience, and young Sandon Smith, who's filling in obviously for Sam Walker. And so probably the biggest difference in the spine would be the halfback and hooker for me.
Yeah. And then I look at their forward pack. Geez, they've got some big middles. You know, you look at just a couple, name a couple in the Melbourne packets. You've got Samoa, Nelson, Asofa Solomona, and you've also got Fijian, Tui Kamithamitha. But then on the flip side, on that Roosters pack, geez, the way that Jared Weeder, Hargraves and Lindsay Collins started last week's game against your team, Manly, and ended up taking two players out for head concussion straight away, I think there's going to be a huge battle. But when it comes to the Roosters, I also love their bench players, the impact that them players will bring. You know, you've got Naufahu White, you've got Spencer Leniu, and then you've also got the players' impact player of the year, Tyrell May.
Mm.
You know, them three, I'm sure, will come on and change the momentum.
I think that's probably the biggest difference for me is the bench. Because as you mentioned, it's kind of tit for tat in the starting pack. And I love the back row challenges as well for both teams. Croydon, Tuponiua, Elisa Katoa, and Sean Blaw. Yeah, but I've become a big fan of Sean Blaw as well throughout the year, watching him play. I think he's been really great for Melbourne on the edge. And just, all, you know, those four back rowers, it's going to be a tough night for the halves that they're running at. And as you mentioned, I think the difference for me in these two teams is the impact that's coming off the bench. Obviously, you've got Tui Kamithamitha for Melbourne, who's a big, powerful man. But you got, it's just all power for Roosters. Spencer, Naufahu, Nat Butcher, and Tyrell May.
Yeah, I loved, you mentioned Sean Blaw and Ali Katoa. The thing I love about them two is that they weren't superstars, they weren't huge name players in our game, but Craig Bellamy and the Melbourne Storm find a way to bring the best out of these players. And geez, they've come onto the scene this year and, you know, over the last couple of years with Ali Katoa and really, you know, made a name and a household name for themselves. So I'm looking forward to that battle as well. And, you know, you look at the outside backs for both teams. I think with Melbourne, they got some great finishes. You got Will Warbrick and Xavier Coates, PNG Kumo, Xavier Coates. But then on the other side for the Sydney Roosters, you've got some big outside backs. Geez, you got big, tall Tongan Daniel Tupou. You got Samoan Joseph Suoli'i and the Cook Islander Joseph Manu. There's going to be a battle, and I'm sure we're going to see, you know, some aerial battles up in the sky with some long range kicks or the crossfield kicks, you know, with Daniel Tupou up against Will Warbrick.
Yeah,
I think Will got one over him the last time they played. So there's going to be that outside backs battle as well.
What I love about the outside backs is, one, they got flair, but they all know how to take a tough carry. And they all love a tough carry, especially those carries coming out of the corner. And you know this game's going to go set for set. They're going to look to complete high, kick to corners, and you know all these outside backs, both wingers, both centers on both teams, know how to take a tough carry and can get their set started on the right note.
Yeah. And just to wrap us up, I know on this game, I know the Melbourne Storm, they have that home field advantage. It's always going to be hard to head down to Melbourne and beat them on their own turf. But I think when it comes to these two teams, they both know how to score points. You know, this game will come down to which team has the most discipline. We're going to see whoever makes the most errors and the most penalties, they will be crucial. You know, they will be crucial in terms of whoever gets the most shots at the other team's try line, I think will come out with the advantage. And yeah, discipline's going to play a huge role in this game.
Absolutely. I think defence is going to win this game. Probably something Melbourne's a bit more hard-nosed for. But again, big games. Both teams have big-time players. I'm actually looking forward to watching this game tonight.
If you had to tip one, who are you going?
You know what? I'm actually going to go the Roosters. I think everyone expects Melbourne to win. It's Melbourne down in Melbourne, and everyone's talking about their Roosters' poor record against them. And so I feel like that will sort of ignite a fire within them. It's definitely not going to be easy. But, you know, off the back of Teddy's performance last week, if he can carry that into tonight, then I think they're a chance of providing an upset.
Yes, James Tedesco, man, he scored two tries, had two try assists last week. If he brings that form, you know, Melbourne Storm might be in a bit of trouble. But that surprises me that you go for the you're going for the Roosters, because I know you ex Manly boys and the relationship that you have with the Sydney Roosters. I know there's not much love there, so it's cool to see you jump the fence and show some love for the my beloved Roosters. I'll be going for the Roosters tonight, but I do think it'll be a tough game. Yeah, Melbourne Storm have been in form all year, so. My heart says one thing. If I was to put my house on it, maybe I'd keep it in my pocket. But anyways, over to Saturday night's game, 7:50 in Sydney. We see the three-peat champions, Penrith Panthers, take on the Cronulla Sharks. Now, this one's a scary one because the Sharks have no expectation whatsoever.
Mm.
The Panthers, they're one game away from making five grand finals in a row. And that comes with pressure. You know, Ivan Cleary, their coach, mentioned earlier a few weeks ago about he doesn't know if his team will go to that depth to go to another grand final and win another premiership. He just doesn't know. So he's sharing how hard it actually is to, one, win one comp, but how hard it is to win four comps in a row. Imagine that, man. I don't think it would be done in this era again.
Nah.
For a very long time.
Yeah, well, I don't think people understand how hard it is to make one grand final, let alone to win it.
Yeah.
And to go there, they've made it four times. They've won three in a row in the salary cap era. And what's even crazier to me is that every year they lose guns.
Yeah.
Every year they lose big name players in their team, but still the system, the structure. And I think the core of Cleary Edwards and Isaiah Yeo sort of, I feel like they're the glue to everything, and everyone else just nails plays their role. Yeah, yep. Plays their role, and it's just that they're just robotic, man.
Well, that's one of my number one strengths for Penrith is that team chemistry. You know, you mentioned their core, and this core has gone on to win 10 straight final games in a row. You know, when they played the Roosters 2 weeks ago, I mentioned how when they were attacking the Roosters try line, everyone had a role and they were asking questions every single play of that set.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you only get that if you've got a core or a spine that has that kind of chemistry and then everyone playing their role to the best of their potential. So I think, they know how they've been there before. They know what to expect, and they know how to win. So I think that's one of their biggest strengths. I think their young, electric outside backs, you know, they get them going forward. We've got, you know, Fijian, Sunia Turuva. You've got Samoan, Isaac Tango, and Brian To'o, and also Paul Alamotti, and then Dylan Edwards out the back. But the way that they get their sets rolling, winning those first few carries, get them on the front foot, and then you've got their forward pack on the back of that. So I think they will play a big role, and they have been for the last 4 or 5 years.
I'm tipping Penrith to win tonight. I feel if Sharks were to provide an upset, 1-17, all of their players would have to play a 9 out of 10 game if they were to win. I thought Braden Trindle was great last week in their win, and if he can do that, then he'll give them the Sharks every opportunity. But again, who's really impressed me this year has been Jerome Luai for Penrith. I feel like he's really, you know, if he ever was even in Cleary's shadow, he stepped out of that by far and showed that he can lead a team and a club around, just his, you know, especially his short kicking game, his threat to run. What an exciting player he is and will be tonight.
Yeah, he doesn't overplay his hand as well. Mm. You know, I know when Nathan was out, he had to play the halfback role and guide the team around, and he doesn't overplay his hand. He plays high percentage plays, so I'm really looking forward to watching him in this next game, but also when he goes to Tigers and has to lead that club. Now, when I look at the Cronulla Sharks, I think this could be a big threat because, one, they've got nothing to lose. You know, there's no expectation. And that I think they will also look to play a different style of footy. You know, they'll take risks. They have to take risks to try and beat Penrith. You can't play Penrith like Penrith and expect to come away with the win.
Yep.
So, you know, I expect a number of offloads, second phase plays. I think when you look at their pack as well, you know, they bring something different. They've got a taller type pack. You know, you look at their starting middles, Toby Rudolph and Samoan international Oregon Kafusi. Mm. Last week, they had 10 more offloads than the Cowboys did. And on the back of that, just the way that their outside backs can finish tries. You give them some early ball. They've got that them change of angle players. They're not, you know, direct. They've got good footwork, good speed off the mark. We've got Jesse Ramien, Tongan Sione Katoa, Samoan Kiwi Ronald Mulitalo, and also our Cook Island friend Kale Iro. But just the way that they skip across the field and create space, you know, they create chinks in the defensive line. So that could be a big threat for the Penrith Panthers.
And I think their bench too. It's a big, powerful bench. You know, you got Sifa Talakai, Jack Williams is good. You got Big Royce Hunt.
Big Royce, yes.
And Tom Hazelton. They're big bodies who, you know, take a lot of juice out of defensive teams because of the effort that it takes to get them to the ground. And so they can, you know, be a point of difference in this game, I think.
Yeah, I think if Sharks were to win, they'd have to, you know, take risks, bring something a little bit different. You know, don't play your conventional percentage type play and, yeah, you know, get into the arm wrestle, because Penrith Panthers are the best at playing that way.
I really hope Nicho Hynes has a good game tonight.
I'm the same, yeah.
He's, you know, copped a lot of scrutiny because of how he's performed in past games, but if he can perform big and lead this team to win in a prelim final, imagine that, you know, that speaks volumes of his character, and, you know, that'll just shush all the scrutiny that he's been copping.
And a big shout out to Nicho Hynes. It's actually his 100th NRL game this weekend. So
congrats.
If you're listening, Nicho, much love, brother, and always in your corner, man. But when it comes to the Panthers again, you know, once they gain that momentum, they're going to be you know, hard to stop. So two games to look forward to. Jeez. You know, Penrith Junior, still live in Penrith, but I also play for the Cronulla Sharks, so I'll sit on the fence with this one.
I'm going to go, I think Penrith will be too good tonight. That's my tip.
And remember, you can hear every NRL game, including the finals, live on ABC Radio Australia. Now, in other news, geez, it was just announced yesterday, Brisbane Broncos coach Kevin Walters has been moved on, has been sacked from his role. What's your experience like? Have you been in a team where the coach has been sacked during his, you know, when he still got a contract for the following years?
Yeah, a few times when I was at the Bulldogs, we had Dez and, you know, he got moved on. Then we had Dean Pay for a bit, then he got moved on. Then we had Trent Barrett. And so...
Oh, three. So you've been involved with three at the same club.
Yep, all at the same club. And so, unfortunately, you know, we were struggling a bit. I think, you know, a lot of it was us as players, not so much the coach, but sometimes, you know, they're the fall guy in this industry. And it is, as a player, it is quite sad and awkward at the same time, because you see and hear and read whispers of it in the media. And obviously, you know, when the pressure blocks and the axe is coming out, names are thrown out, and, you know, when you see your head coach's name out in the media, it's a bit sad, because you get to see behind the scenes how hard they're actually working.
Yeah.
They're, you know, the first in the building, watching hours and hours of video, they're presenting to the team, they're, you know, putting game plan structures, everything is dedicated towards obviously winning and succeeding, but it's a results-driven industry.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you know, providing the right results, then, you know, ultimately they move on to the next person. And so, I've experienced it as a player. And when you do see those things in the media, it's hard. It's a bit awkward when you come into training not knowing if the coach is going to be there the next day or not. And even as a player, because sometimes, you know, the coach at the time might be a fan of you, and, you know, next coach John Smith comes in, he might not be a fan of you, and that leaves you in the dark. You're like, does he still want me a part of his roster? Like, what's to go? And so I know that's a thought that comes across players' minds is, you know, am I in this new coach's plans?
It is a results-driven organization or business. And, you know, it is sad when this happens to people that you've built relationships with. And I'm sure, you know, Kevin Walters will be going through a tough time. But, you know, and it's just, you know, it is part of the business. So I would learn, actually, it was told to me a few years ago from a person that I know in England, and he said that it's easier to sack one person than to sack 30 players.
he's the fall guy.
And, you know, I hope it works out for Brisbane for their future plans. But, you know, we are thinking of all that, you know, with Kevin Walters as well. And speaking of, you know, thinking of players, Kalyn Ponga, you know, Newcastle Knights has announced that he won't be putting his hand up for the Kangaroos jersey. And I know he's copped it. He's absolutely copped it in the media since then and from the NRL as well. But, man, I just want to show some love to Kalyn because I think as a player, you look at the season and how many games they play. And, you know, he was also played State of Origin. And then leading into the season, he had a couple, you know, head knocks that affected his well-being and health and the way that he plays the game and represents his club. And his decision shouldn't be... he shouldn't have to cop that pressure for that decision that he's made. So, what are your thoughts on this situation?
Yeah, I'm with you, T. I don't think the scrutiny that he's copped is fair. As you mentioned, it's a long season. He's played Origin. He's had some concussion injuries. He's the go-to for Newcastle. So every week he's expected to be that guy.
Yeah.
And he is that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, oh, you know, well, he's getting, you know, X amount of dollars. He should, you know, be doing these things. But, you know, it doesn't make it any easier.
Yeah.
And after a long and grueling season and obviously not being where he obviously wants to win a comp with Newcastle. That's the focus for him. And so, yeah, shout out to Kalyn Ponga. Do you?
No, well said, mate. Well, we'll get to all the rugby union results and news with Totai Kefu. But first, let's check in with the NRLW finals with our superstar, Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge, Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, joining us each Friday on Negen Footy, we have Fetu Samoan, New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar, Sala Tongatuki. Welcome back for another episode. Sala, aww, how you doing?
Yeah, thanks, T. Feels good to be back. I don't know when was the last time I spoke on you. definitely always feels good being back talking all things footy.
With the season ending last week, one, how was the celebrations? Yeah, I know you mentioned off air you didn't enjoy any beverages or soda water. So what was that experience like?
Definitely we're still on a high buzz. Just obviously considered the start of the season, we didn't really one or hope for, but I'm just so proud that the girls got their back-to-back win and they went and made sure they made the most of the celebrations. And yeah, I guess I was pretty much babysitting, so it was so worth it. So worth seeing all the smiles. You know, I'm pretty sure there's got to be some point where you got to sort of acknowledge your hard work in the preseason, the work season. So I'm glad the girls had some sort of reason to go out there and still celebrate.
Like I said, it's if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So it's good to reflect, and especially the way that you girls finished with two back-to-back wins. So I'm sure that they would have enjoyed the end of the season. Now, with the season finished, were there any end of year reviews? Did you have to go and have a review with the coaching staff? What did that look like?
I didn't know this was going to happen because last year I had surgery and I missed out on the review then. So I wasn't sure how the process was going to be. And I did hear from other players and have you had your reviews yet? And I was like, it was just freaking me out because then I was like, oh, what the hell? I didn't even know you do that. And they're like, yeah, every club does it. And then ours came up and then I was like, just really nervous. Like there's like a long like line just waiting and you see some players walking out crying. And obviously, probably personal reason, I don't know, like, what it was for. And then some players came out okay and some were just, you know, just content. So, I guess when I went in, I didn't expect how it was going to lay out. So each coach sort of had their say and, some good things and some bad things and what you can probably improve on for next season or if you are there for the club next season. And then you get like an overall number out of five, and some players were vulnerable, and you know I respect them for sharing what they got. And I guess it's not all bad, like, to know if it's a bad number. You know, just knowing that there's so much room for improvement and so much potential. I've seen a lot of the girls I play with, you know, I just advise them, you know, there's still positives in. You get to now go work on your craft and come back, you know, a better player. And especially because our group was a young group. So I was just like, man, you guys are so lucky. Like, this process is here and now for yous. I'm pretty sure when 2018, there was really nothing. It was only just four teams, three rounds, and that was it. Like, there wasn't really much you could give feedback on, like, the playing group and the players to go on and want to come back, be better, because it was just a long wait till the next NRW. But now that we've got some sort of, you know, length of a season and, you know, I'm just so proud. Like, I just told the girls, I'm glad they were able to turn their frowns upside down and those tears into joy. That, you know, there's so much more to look forward to. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in life, Salah, sometimes you learn the most important lessons from your tough times. And obviously this was a tough season for you, for the club.
Mm-hmm.
However, what were some things that you learned through these tough times?
As a player or?
As a player, yeah, yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I've always been told, like, you know, you've got a great ball running game, but, like, if you want to make elite starting teams, if you want to be that starting prop or starting player, you sort of got to look at different ways and how to craft your game. Like, you know, you can't just tuck the ball under and, you know, just that's going to get old for you. And I guess what I learned from it was utilizing my ball playing skills a lot more, you know, not just putting my mind frame like into, oh, you're just a prop, like you only just run hard and tackle and that's it. I guess I'm grateful that, you know, Brett Camorley, he's enabled that vision for me, that, you know, you can do some crazy things. You draw so many players in. And I think also just for my defense, like I used to be a lazy player, like not even care about, and I guess like this came from, you know, just being in a good team, like with the Roosters, like you have so many strike players that, you know, you knew that you were always going to hold possession. You weren't going to always have to like experience fatigue and, put you under that kind of pressure where so much tackles you had to make. But, I guess when you go into a team like with Tigers and a younger group and you've been that leader, you sort of got to put yourself in that shoes to want to do the hard work and want to do the grind, like be in that grind for it. And I guess I'm grateful for my experiences and the journey this year. I think it's probably my best rate at defense, the efficient tackle efficiency. Yeah. So far in my career, and I'm really grateful. That's probably my biggest lesson, is you got to want to be willing to do both, not just, you know, be the high ball runner, but you got to be willing to also make those tackles. And I think the 1% isn't that. But as a life learning experience, I think I've also been able to actually take reins of being an actual leader. I've always heard it, like, you know, you're a leader, but I've never taken it like to my full potential. And I felt this year it's sort of, I had to, like with the likes of Kezzy Apps being ruled out early in the season, a couple of our like players, like our strike players, Rakia Horn, Leanne Tafunga, they had some games missed. And I mean, it was like, you know, oh, okay, like, sweat, like, this is it. Like, I guess there's no say. Even the coaches would even, like, say to me at trainings, you know, we need your energy, we need you right now. And I'm grateful for their guidance in bringing that, pursuing my leadership to another level. And I know that, like, I've got room for improving in that sense too. But I'm just grateful that those were my key learning lessons as a player and away from the game. Yeah.
Yes, 2025, Salah Tongatuki, the ball playing prop. Let's go.
Once you get folded, bro.
Hey, Salah.
Oh, no.
We've got two big games this weekend in the NRLW semi-finals. Broncos taking on the Sharks and the Knights taking on the Roosters. We'll start with the Broncos v Sharks. Which players stand out for you and who do you think is going to win this one?
I reckon keep our eyes on Melo Hufanga and Tiana Penatani. Both powerful centres. They've been consistent performers, using their strengths to break tackles, creating attack opportunities. And I feel Tiana's physicality and her ability to dominate in defence could be crucial in a tight, tight finals match. You know, I love Mele, like we go way back, but there is patches of her game where you can, she's exposed. And I know that I'm pretty sure T would probably be on that edge seeing it and IDing that and just saying, like, let's go here down short side and that. So I feel those are my two big players from this game.
Do you still think Broncos is going to win the premiership?
Oh, no, I don't know. Like, look, they've just been on a winning streak at the moment. They are minor premiers. But I do see potential in Sharks. Like, I know that they've lost their last three games and, you know, but you can't discredit them for what we've seen in the start of the season. They were on a high ride and I just know what they can do. And, I guess with, one of their big players out, I can't find a better reason why they don't want to, you know, sort of play for her. Yeah. She's a big part of their team. And I know that they really want her to come back and, you know, sort of send her off well. She's going to the Doggies next year and it's Holly Wheeler. And I know they, and they've also got Taylor Preston. And I've spoken to some of the girls and I know they really want to win a premiership and that's a better way to sort of send off those players.
So, yeah. What about Knights versus Roosters? Who are you taking and why?
I'm going to go Roosters. Oh, I've got to go Roosters. I love my Chookies. And look, both teams are currently in form, but the Roosters are riding a four-game winning streak. And look, the Knights are reigning premiers, but there's so much fight in the Roosters, and we've just seen that in the last four games. And I reckon the Roosters will dominate the middle pack 100%, just from experience of playing against both teams. They've got Tessa Puller, Amber Hoare, you know, you've got your sister in there, Will. I'm pretty sure you're going to go for Roosters. And got to just capitalise on those players I just named. Both know how to offload, both strong runners. And, you know, I think if they can control the ruck, get the ball early, you know, to their edges, especially playing off the back of those girls I just named, I'd love to play, you know, just take the next run after them. And what better fitting way is your strike player, Isabel Kelly. But I think Jess Surges might be due for a return. She was named in the reserves and that. So I've been doing a little detective work and saw her sort of run on the edge where she normally plays. So fingers crossed, be nice to see Winx come in and finish off, you know, some sort of season.
And so jump side, big game against Roosters Knights. You're going for the Roosters. I didn't quite get where you're going with the Broncos and Sharks. So jumping off the fence, if you had to pick one.
Sorry, yeah, we'll go back. Yeah.
You going Sharks or you going Broncos?
I love an upset. And I love New South Wales, so I'm going to go with Sharks.
Let's go. You know, last week you tipped Broncos to win the premiership and now you've jumped into Sharks to beat them.
I know. Don't listen to my tips.
No, look, that's awesome.
I go based on feelings week by week, so Sharks. I'm going to go with Sharks in that game.
Now, before we move on, any news on the Pacific Championships coming up?
I've been approached a couple of times by Jamie Soward, Samoa.
Yep.
It's still waiting on the selection process, so they don't come together. Well, if we're talking about Australia, I think they don't come together till the 7th of October after grand final. I guess you get like a phone call or something and team list gets released then. But Samoa's, I'm not sure, like, because I did get my manager to speak with them and let them know that I am in contention for a Jilla's jersey, and it's always been a dream of mine to want to put it on, and it's the highest of the highest honours, and it'd be a different story if I'd already played in, you know, in that jersey. I'd be so content and would not hesitate. I'm all for my people, 100% I am, but I was born here in Australia, and the reckless, like, so many opportunities that's been provided to me. I just would not want to say no to an Australian, even if I just wore it once in my career. I'd be the happiest girl. And I have played in a Samoa jersey already, but I sort of want to. I want to go after that feeling of, all right, I've achieved my goal, and you know, I'll be so happy to just then go and just try and get Samoa qualify. And it's so hard because it's against, you know, such a really good team, Tonga, and all those, like, players, like, you know, in that team, like, they're just, like, sisters and that. So it'll be so cool to see how that game goes down this year in Fiji. But, yeah, I'm still waiting. There's no news yet. It's just nerve-wracking just waiting just on that call, if you made it or not.
All good. Like I said last week, whatever decision you make and whatever jersey you end up wearing, you know you've got our full support, and I'm pretty sure all our Pacifica community would all, you know, be in your corner as well. So whatever happens, happens, and, you know, we wish nothing but the best. Now, I also seen you're nominated as the RLPA props of the year. You're as a nomination, which is a huge honor, because this is this team selected from your peers, from your opponents, from the players. Now, what are your thoughts on that before we move on?
Sorry, I had to laugh because I honestly did not think I did anything to she.
you've done something because you're nominated.
No, thanks.
Well, you must have heard a few people like while during those hard carries of yours, because the opponents have voted. They've spoken.
I was really like, my heart was just really grateful. I just would not. There are so many props that I felt were truly deserving to be in there. But like you said, it came from the players that, you know, you've played against. And I guess it's what they've taken away from those games, and they've remembered you. And I'm just so grateful, hey, just to be in the mix of, you know, that top four. But credit to the girls that are in that running, the top four, like, definitely commend them for their season they've had. I do remember playing against them and just how much they've stepped up their game this year. So, I'm just great. I still pinch myself, man. I don't even know how I even got there. Sorry, I shared something funny. How's about my sisters and that thought that, you know how they had the voting open?
Yeah.
Like, to public, like, but the decision that's already made, like the team's already done based on the players' votes. So my sisters and my mum and that go and do this little promoting, like, comment on it, comment Salah.
Please vote here.
Yeah, I was like, bro, your votes aren't gonna, like, you know,
one comment equals one vote. Everyone get commented.
I was like laughing. I was like, I love them to bits.
I think it's the hugest honour and something you should be proud of. So all the best in them nominations. And, you know, you've spoken like a true humble champion. And, I wish you all the best. Thank you, Salah. And enjoy the weekend. Enjoy these two big games coming up. Up the Sharkies, up the Roosters, so you say.
Nice boys.
And we will join you next Friday ahead of the grand final.
Thanks, boys. Oh, sorry, Will. And my sister's like a big fan of you. I'm shaming her right now. She was like, oh, my God, are you going on there with him? I was like, yeah.
Tell her, say hello.
No, I will.
All right, see you later, sis.
See you, Salah.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijin Puri.
Well, let's head straight over to Japan and visit Totai Kefu to cover all things rugby union.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu.
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby, Queensland Reds and Ikalitahi legend, Totai Kefu. Big Kefs, welcome back to Nijin Footy. I've also joined, we're joined here with one of your long-lost nephews, Will Hopoate, and you're just saying offline that you used to run into his father back in the day.
Yeah, no problems. And nice to meet Will too. Luckily, I didn't run into his old man on the field, but I was a big fan. Our careers were parallel, actually, but made a huge fan of his when he played for the Manly Sea Eagles.
Two Tongan legends, eh? You're playing both codes. How was the week? So how was that a post session last weekend?
Yeah, good. We probably had a points decision over our D-Rocks members. They so Tamu Kurevi and Israel Folau play for them. They obviously didn't train. They're just probably wrapped up in cotton wool waiting for the season to come. So, it was good to catch up with him, but we had a really good session.
Just a quick one for Will. So they've had some trials and the post sessions, but their season actually doesn't start till, was it December or Christmas
December 21st is our first game.
Wow, December 21st.
Where's the workload and balance team?
Welcome to Jim Rugby, mate. We train for 8 months and then the season goes for about three.
Hey, as long as that yen's getting into the boys' bank accounts, I'm sure they're not arguing.
that's what I keep reminding the boys. Boys, whenever you get frustrated and down and out and depressed, just look at your bank account.
Well, Kirst, let's head straight to Pacific Nations Cup finals last weekend held in Japan. Man, what a game. Fiji versus Japan. You said that it was going to be a tight one. Me and Sammy reviewed and we spoke about this game on Monday because I actually went with Japan. I tipped Japan this one because of your knowledge last week. But, geez, Fiji, how impressive were they?
Yeah, look, my heart was with the Japan team, but I think in the back of my mind, Fiji were always going to be, I think, a little bit too classy for them. And just the big ball runners basically won it for them in the end. It was a tight game, actually. It was 10 points all at half time, but just the relentless carrying by the big ball runners, you know, Terolangi, Logan Imasi come off the bench, scored two tries. Munts just controlled everything around the field and kicked all these goals. So a really classy effort. Look, the scary thing is with that team is that's basically the draw side, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Bhatia and players like that who are in Europe haven't even joined the side. So obviously there's some stuff in the background that's happening, as we talked about last week. But that's basically the draw side, mate. That's their second, third Fijian team. So bloody good effort.
Yeah, we'll touch on that European tour that they're involved in November shortly. But in regards to this game, do you think this shows the growth of Fiji, you know, being able to weather that storm and stay in the grind and not overplay their hands as they would have done in the past, you know, that flair that they play with, but it seems like they have learnt how to grind a game out?
Yeah, well, look, I think that's a bloody good point, T. And in the past, the Polynesian teams have been guilty of, you know, turnovers, ill discipline, a poor set piece. And we've always been profiled as trying to quick tempo, offload the ball, you know, running rugby. So Fiji now are really quite disciplined. Their set pieces on point. Their line out and scrums are really high class now. So they've turned that around. And like I said, this is the draw side doing it. You know, and the benefit that having that draw side is just being able to play super rugby week in, week out. And the whole mindset has changed. You know, these Fiji teams are much more disciplined. And in terms of their mindset, you know, they can stay in the fight longer. They're resilient. So that's been a huge plus for them moving forward.
It actually gives, you know, Mick Byrne, you bring up a good point there, it gives their coach Mick Byrne that time. Well, he was the Drua coach, but then now the Flying Fijians coach. So he's given that time to develop these players. Once I've gone to that international level, you know, from playing week in, week out super rugby, then they've created those habits. They know how to handle, you know, high-pressure games, and now they're in a position to, you know, beat international teams. So great work to Mick Byrne.
Yeah, look, they're a top 10. They've cemented themselves in the top 10 now. You know, I can't see them going outside the top 10. And they would be, you know, quite competitive against any of the top 5 teams.
They've actually jumped Australia on the world rankings to 9th. Do you see them as the biggest improvers in world rugby?
Yeah, totally. And look, they've still got that athletic ability that they've always had. Big backs running. You can't tell the difference between the backs and the forwards half the time. Yeah. Same skill set. But now, you know, they backed that up with strong set piece, discipline, resilience.
Yeah, great work to the Fijian team, Pacific Nations Cup champions. Now we'll look to the game that was played, the curtain raising that was played before this game, Samoa versus USA. You mentioned you were there in Osaka catching both games and you managed to catch the end of this one. What were your thoughts on the Samoa versus USA game?
Yeah, look, really entertaining game. USA led for the majority of the game, and Samoa just hung in there. And we've got to mention that Samoa didn't have all their players there, so it was probably a second, third Samoan team for them. But, geez, they just hung in there, and literally in the 78th minute, Nanai finished a sweeping move across the field and scored in the corner. It was tricky conditions. There was a little bit of rain around, but USA, look at USA, they've come a long way. Now, their main goal now moving forward is to try and qualify for the next World Cup. They missed the last World Cup, as did Canada did. And I thought they showed some huge progress. But, you know, Samoa in the end stole the game.
I've never actually been to Japan myself. What's the games and atmosphere like in Osaka?
Mate, it's awesome. So the main field in Osaka is Hanazono, which is where my team train out of.
Yeah.
I just live up the road. But they get, it's quite popular. This is the home of rugby in Japan, this ground, Hanazono.
Yeah.
And they usually, for a test match, it wasn't too bad. I think there was about 14,000 to 15,000 people there. The crazy thing is, and I was sitting in the stands watching this, the Japanese crowds are so polite, you know, and so quiet. Totally different culture and atmosphere in terms of watching it in New Zealand or overseas in Europe, you know.
Yeah,
all right. Pin drop when they kick for goal, even during when set pieces are setting up to have a line out or a scrum, you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, mate, you should come to England and watch one of those football games or even a rugby league game. Geez, there's some abusive fans that watch them games that are not fun to be a part of. But, mate, the big game on the weekend, All Blacks versus the Wallabies. I know where your heart really is when it comes to this game and the Bledisloe. What did you think of the first game, Wallabies versus All Blacks, held in Sydney?
Yeah, look, bloody, it wasn't looking good after bloody 10, 15 minutes. you know, it was 21-0. And, look, I just thought, geez, this could be a bloody a mauling. But we did well to come back from that and nearly could have maybe won it in the end. But, look, I think did the All Blacks get a little bit cocky during when they got by three tries? It looked like that. You know, Damon McKenzie, they still created. The scary thing is, the All Blacks still created a shitload of opportunities and just didn't execute. Now, we go back to where are we in Wellington this week. You know, the groundsmen are going to water the field overnight. It'll be a bloody beautiful weather. You've got Bowden Barrett coming in at 10, which is really interesting. Imagine getting rid of, McKenzie and then calling in Bowden Barrett. And TJ comes in halfback. Like, you got probably, they've probably played 50 tests together already and had 100 first-class games at Wellington. So it doesn't get any easier for the Wallabies. But it's a perfect storm, right? Like, they're probably not going to get, I think the betting agencies have got them at bloody 20-point head start. So no one expects this Wallaby team to win. What better way to go out than just give everything and prove everyone wrong?
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier with the Cronulla Sharks taking on the Panthers. You know, there's no scarier team to play than a team that's got no expectation and nothing to lose. So you bring up a good point there with the Wallabies. You know, go there and unleash and, you know, do your best and you never know.
Exactly. You got absolutely nothing to lose. It's the last game of this season until they go on tour. Absolutely nothing to lose. No one expects you to win. No one. So, you know, get out there. Don't worry about the score. Just bash a few bloody All Blacks.
And have a crack. That's the one.
My old man always said, if plan A doesn't work, go to plan B.
I'm pretty sure Will's dad thought the same thing.
Plan B was plan A.
He's plan A was plan B.
Exactly.
Well, Kefs, I know it's your last episode here for 2024. So to finish us off, we've got some quick fire questions for you. And I'll start, kick us off. Who is the best Pacifica player in rugby right now, in your opinion?
Best Pacifica player, geez. I love Corey Beattie. Mate, he's a rock. He's cement. Yeah, I'll go with him.
Who's the best Pacifica rugby player you played against?
Can't go past Drew Penny, Thau Thau.
Ooh.
I was a big fan.
Followed by Jonah Lomu.
Oh, yes, the legend. What about the best Pacifica player you've played alongside?
I played in some bar games, and there was a little centre back in the day, mate. I was scared of him when we played against him at the Blues. Tui Tupou, what was his first?
Sam
Tupou, man.
Yeah.
It looked like much, but we found out never to run in that kind of direction.
Yeah, he could bang, eh?
Yeah, he was the man.
And Jerry Collins was in that same kind of atmosphere.
Fiji have a European tour in November against Scotland, Spain, Wales and Ireland.
Yeah.
How many of them do you think they can win?
Well, I think they can win all of them except Ireland. I've been watching Ireland over the last couple of years. They're in another level. They're up there with, you know, South Africa. They're world class.
Well, big Kevs, I know it's sad to see you go for this season. I wish Sammy and Declan were here, but they do send their love. I just want to say a big thank you for being a part of Nijin Footy for this season, and all the best over in Japan for the rest of this year and leading into the next season. And I'm sure we'll run it back 2025. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, it's been an absolute pleasure, T, and if I'm invited back, I'll be here straight away, mate.
The invite's already there, mate. You don't need the invite.
Nice to meet you, Dodai. Ofatu, man.
Will, ofatu, man. Nice to meet you. Say hi to the old man for me.
Will do.
Appreciate it, brother.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Well, Will, each week, Professor Paulo, a.k.a. Sifa Paulo, he gives us, me and Sammy, a question, and the first answer gets a point. We keep a score throughout the season, and the loser at the end of the season has to buy a fancy lunch. As you can see here on your sheet, Sammy is leading 15 to 12, and I got some catching up to do. So
slip me a tenner and I'll let you win.
Yeah, like you let him win those Nijin knowledge questions that you had. But let's rip straight into it.
This week's question will be on the NRLW. As we see two semi-finals this week to book a place in the grand final, the Brisbane Broncos versus the Cronulla Sharks and the Sydney Roosters versus defending champions, the Newcastle Knights. The NRLW has been going on for 7 seasons. Can you please tell me how many different NRLW teams have won the NRLW Premiership?
Do you know? I'm going to try and take a guess. We're going with Newcastle, Roosters and the Broncos. So I'm going to say 3. You can just take a guess.
I'll say 4.
The answer to that question is 3 teams. The Brisbane Broncos, the Sydney Roosters, and the Newcastle Knights.
Oh, and he gets the names of the club too. Easy. So that takes me to 13. Thank you very much, Will Hopoate. Let's go to our knockout tipping comp.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
All right, so this one I'm absolutely smoking, Sammy, with on the scoreboard. But
we
pick one team each week from Rugby League and Rugby Union, and we can't pick them again throughout the season. I've got this one 42-31 at the moment. Now, besides the World 15 comp, Rugby Union's pretty quiet until November, so we're going to stick with Rugby League. We'll do a NRLW team and an NRL team. We'll start with the NRLW. We'll pick one team between the Roosters and the Knights each. Who are you tipping? I'll let you go first.
I'll go with the Roosters. Support my sister Bunny in her semi-final this weekend, so I'll tip the Roosters.
All right, Roosters. I'll go the Knights because Nita Maynard is coming back from injury, hopefully, off the bench. And maybe that might be not news release. But anyway, I'm going for the Knights. Breaking news. So you've got Roosters, I've got Knights. In the NRL, you can pick either the Panthers or the Storm, and I can only pick the Roosters for my last pick.
I'll pick the Melbourne Storm.
So you're picking the Storm, and then if Panthers win, Sammy gets another chance next week. So you'll go Storm, I'll go Roosters. And that is us done for another Nijin Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts. Will, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, team.
I will see you on Monday.
See you on Monday.
And let's run it back. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.